Well, good morning and welcome to Bowmansville. I am so glad to see each one of you here today. We are so blessed that we could come and meet together as a body of Christ freely. Psalm 71:8 says, "My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long." 1 Chronicles 29:11. "Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all." This morning, as we sing praises to God, let us tell Him who He is to us. Let's praise Him for who He is and what He has done for us, no matter what we're walking through right now. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, You are the creator of everything. You have given us breath in our lungs, and we are here to praise Your holy name. Thank You for showing us mercy and compassion daily. Open our eyes to see You at work. Open our hearts to know You to a deeper level than we ever have before. Help us to express what You mean to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just stand during our worship time this morning. And during our first song, I will call the ushers to come forward right now. And as we're giving back to God in our tithe, we're also giving back to God our worship and our prayer. Our Lord, so just worship with us at this time.
Oh, bow for a word of prayer. Father God, we come before you this morning as your people and just want to acknowledge you as Lord of all, and Lord of what we put here in the plate, and Lord of everything else that we didn't. And we just thank you for the ministry and the care that the retirement and elder care homes around us provide for those that operate within your name and through your principles. We ask for a special blessing on the administrators and those that are leading through these challenging times, for the caregivers navigating with mandates and other things that they may or may not feel right about. And just, Lord, we pray your special blessing of mercy among everyone on these places that care for those who have gone before us in these phases of life. So we ask that you would just be near to us, impress upon us how we can help in those situations. Be near Tony as he shares this morning a message of healing and about your power. May we be open and eager and ready to receive that. In Jesus' name, amen.
My help is on the way.
Yeah. Thank you. for our sins. And Lord, I just pray that we would believe in your power, and that you have the power to heal, and because of your Holy Spirit, we also have that same power to heal. So Lord, I just pray that you be near Tony as he brings us the message you have laid on his heart this morning. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Well, it's time for our children's message, so I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Probably going to make a mess this morning, but we'll try to contain it a little bit. So I would like a volunteer. All you have to do is fill this container. All right. Just dump that in there and fill the container up. Fill the whole container up. Actually, maybe you ought to stand on this side so everybody can see you. All right, here's the problem. Now we got to make a bigger hole in the package, and now it's really going to come out. But that's all right. That's what vacuum cleaners are for. So is that full? That looks pretty full. Do you guys think it's full? Some are saying yes, some are saying no. Well, it's not full. See, because I can take it and I can shake it. If you shake it long enough, see how it goes down. You can dump some more in there. So go ahead and dump some more in there. Now is it full? Yes. Nope, it's not full. What else can you do? I'll do it since I don't want to make you all do it. And just take it and smash it down in there. And really compact it in there. Yeah, it's making more spill out, but that's all right. We can compact it in here, so we can take all this stuff that spilled out, put it back in there, and still have room for a bunch more. If you keep pressing on it and compacting it, you could get a bunch more in there, right? All right, you can have a seat. So now it's full, right? Yeah, it's full. If you keep smashing on it, it would be full. In Leviticus 19, it says, "Do not use dishonest standards when you measure length or width or quantity." This would be quantity because we're filling a container. Use honest scales and weights, an honest epheth, and an honest hin. That's a measurement of flour or grain. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. So, if I sold you the amount of flour that was in there first, when we didn't shake it down or compact it, would that be an honest measurement? Would that be honest? No, it wouldn't be. Especially if I charge you full price, right? But if you pack the flour in and compress it and get as much in there as you possibly can, is that an honest amount for a full price? Yeah, that would be an honest amount. See, God wants us to be honest in everything that we do, how we interact with people, and that may mean we lose some money, it might cost us extra time and energy. Just like packing the flour down, it cost us a little extra because we had to put a little more in there if we were going to sell it for a certain amount. So just remember that it may take extra effort to be honest, but God delights in that. He wants us to be honest in everything that we do. All right, I'm going to pray for you guys, and then you can have a snack and go back to your seats. Will you join me in prayer? God, we just thank you for these children. Just bless them, draw them to you, and each day help them to remember all that you do for us. And just help us to remember to be honest in everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys may have a snack and then head back to your seat. Should have got a towel for myself to get rid of the flour. Got to get all my stuff organized here. Well, good morning again, and Teresa and I would like to thank you as a congregation for allowing us as a pastoral team to go away on a retreat. Just thank you for your generosity. We had a great time of laughing, playing games, and eating way too much. Needed a diet this week just because of Thanksgiving's coming up. We ate rather well. And I'd like to thank the PCRC for all that they did for us last weekend, all the meals they made and decorations and all the planning that went into the weekend. We just appreciate it very much. This morning we're going to look at healing. We're going to look at different passages of Scripture and practice some healing, whether that's your spiritual gift or not. We're all going to get involved and we're going to practice this morning. We're going to look at things that keep us from being involved as far as asking for healing or praying for someone else. We're going to look at things that keep us from doing that. Kind of the idea behind this message comes from this thought that we preach a message and we invite people forward for healing, and that's good. Yet, it doesn't help us grow our spiritual gifts or use them. So, how can we incorporate this on a Sunday morning? So, this was a free message in our schedule. So, this is kind of how I thought maybe we could do it this morning. Some more thought is needed into how can we incorporate this more into our Sunday. You can also come out on the third Sunday of every month here to Bowmansville to explore your spiritual gifts and do some fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. So I encourage you to come out to that. We see healing many times in the Bible. Jesus was a part of at least 28 different events where healing happened. There's probably a lot more, but at least 28. Some of those were individual events where he healed one person. Some were corporate events where he healed a whole village and many, many more people. Looking at the Old Testament, you have Elijah and Elisha, just to name two. People that healed different people, they raised people from the dead. Healing is something that is woven throughout Scripture. God is a God of compassion and mercy, and he wants to bring healing to our lives. When sin entered the world back in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, God, who knows and sees everything, knew that we would need healing from the curse of sin that we were living under. From the beginning, God has foretold that a Savior is coming to bring healing in the form of forgiveness of sin. Jesus was born and died on a cross and rose from the dead, conquering sin and death to heal us. God's nature is to bring healing. My antivirus popped up. God's nature is to bring healing to our lives, to restore what was broken for so many years. If you have the thought, why would God want to heal me? It's part of his nature. It's who he is. He is loving and compassionate, merciful. He is correcting, and he's a righteous father. Just to name a few attributes of who he is. He can't go against his nature. He wants us to be whole. Yes, there are times when we have to walk through something that he is teaching us to trust and lean on Him, but He truly wants us to be whole. So we looked a little bit at the nature of God. Now we're going to look at the empowering of man from God. We're going to start in Luke chapter 9, 1 to 6. Summoning the 12, He gave them power and authority over all demons and to heal diseases. He sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Take nothing for the road, He told them. No staff, no traveling bag, no bread, no money, and don't take an extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there and leave from there. If they do not welcome you, when you leave that town, shake off the dust of your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and traveled from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing everywhere. Jesus gathered His disciples around Him, and He empowered them. He empowered them over the demons and to heal the sick. Jesus, who Himself is empowered by the Holy Spirit, gave His disciples power and authority via the Holy Spirit. And this was a test run for them, because they would receive the Holy Spirit later on Pentecost. This was a test run for them to go out and learn. This is the same Holy Spirit that we have in us. The same power is given to us. Acts 1, 4 to 8. While He was with them, He commanded them... Yes, I'm reading it correct. While He was with them, He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but wait for the Father's promise, which He said, "You have heard Me speak about. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days." So when they had come together, they had asked Him, "Lord, are You restoring the kingdom to Israel at this time?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or periods that the Father has set by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." It says you will receive power. It doesn't say you might. It doesn't say you could. It says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And this is not just the same for the disciples. It is the same for us. We receive the Holy Spirit when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We have that same power. We have power. It's not our power. It is God's. So, how can we use that power that we receive from God? How can we use it? Well, there's an example in Acts 3, 1 to 8. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple for a time of prayer. At 3 in the afternoon, a man who was lame from birth was being carried there. He was placed each day at the temple gate called Beautiful, so that he could beg from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked for money. Peter, along with John, looked straight at him and said, "Look at us." So he turned to them, expecting to get something from them. But Peter said, "I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." Then, taking him by the right hand, he raised him up, and at once his feet and ankles became strong. So he jumped up and started to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. The disciples used the power that they had received. They walked up to this beggar. They walked up to this beggar and they gave out the power that God had given them. They didn't have money, yet they gave him something far more valuable. They showed the love of Christ. And in Matthew chapter 10, this is Matthew's view on Luke 9, the passage that we had looked at earlier. In verse 8 of Matthew 10, it says, "Freely you have received, freely give." And Peter and John did this. They freely gave what God had given to them because they knew what they had received and where they had came from. And we are supposed to do the same thing. Freely give because of what we have received. Too many times we don't freely give, whether it is out of fear or lack of faith, that God will actually heal someone if I pray for them. See, we need to train ourselves to look for opportunities so we don't look back on a situation and think, man, I missed an opportunity there. Well, I have an example of this. This summer we had the family fun days in the park. And I was there draining the dunk tank. And a woman came up and asked, "Hey, how much does that cost? My daughter thought this is fun. She'd really like it at her birthday party." Normal conversation, right? Yeah. When she walked over, she was pushing a special stroller that had her handicapped son in. And I had this thought, man, if Jesus was here, he would reach out his hand and heal this child. She walked off, and that was the end of our conversation. And man, did I miss an opportunity. Yes, Jesus was there. He was in me. I have the Holy Spirit in me. Why didn't I take my hand and place it on that child and pray for him? And talk to the mother about what she believed. If it wasn't God's will, he wouldn't have been healed. And I would have just been some religious weirdo praying for her son. So what? But if God wanted to heal him, that would have been something amazing. Would have been life-altering. So I'm working at being bolder and just throwing myself out there. Was it a prompting of the Holy Spirit? I'm not sure. Yet it was brought to my attention. Was the Holy Spirit prompting me to act? I don't know. But the Holy Spirit was showing me this and speaking to me. Was that the prompting that I missed? I spent time praying for them later on, but we do need to be alert to the Holy Spirit. And here are some other ways we need to be alert to the Holy Spirit's leading. When you are praying for someone and a Bible verse comes to your mind, pray it out. Even if you don't have the exact words, pray out that Bible verse. The Holy Spirit may give you an image. Like just this image keeps coming to my mind as you're praying. Share that image. It might not make sense to you, but it might be the exact thing that someone needs to hear at the right moment because the Holy Spirit knows what they need. If you're in a group praying and others are praying, focus on what comes to your mind. Someone else is speaking and something comes to your mind, pray it out. We do need to be careful of what our motives are. Are they for God and that person that we're praying for? And not, make sure they're not to build ourselves up and our ego. How many of us have used this phrase before when we pray? I try not to now, and I'll explain why. How many times have I put this on the end of a prayer because there was doubt in me? Saying this at the end of the prayer, it gives me an out. You were not healed because it wasn't God's will, right? It gives me an out. I treat this as a cop-out. I know I have in the past. I always want God's will to be done, and it always will, no matter what I say. God's will is going to be done. Do I pray your will be done because I lack faith and have doubt? Yeah, I would say I did that in the past. So that's why I tend not to pray that at the end of a prayer. And I just pray boldly in faith that God will heal them. It might not be instantly and it might be down the road, but I pray that God will heal them. And I'm not saying it's wrong to pray your will be done. That is a good thing to have God's will done. Just for myself, I was using it in a way it shouldn't have been used. Is faith what heals someone? Well, it's part of it. It takes faith to ask for prayer, to stand up and say, I need you to pray for me. It takes faith to also then pray for somebody. If faith was the only thing, then if I had enough, everyone would be healed, right? So it's more than just faith, but it is part of healing. And if someone says to you they weren't healed because you did not have enough faith, that is wrong. Because you look at the Gospels, we have the account of the men who went up on the roof and lowered the paralyzed man through the roof to get him to Jesus. It didn't say how much faith they had. It just says that Jesus saw their faith and he forgave the man his sins and then he healed him. It was the action that they showed that was the faith. And when we gather around someone to pray, we are saying we believe that God can heal this person because of his power. And when we ask for healing, we're saying, we believe, God, that you can heal me. I'm coming to you because I believe you can heal me. Those are acts of faith. And then we have to just leave it into God's will, whether he will heal them or not. Too many times we let Satan's lies creep into our mind and our heart. Man, that's not my gift. And if I mess up praying, they won't be healed. It's not about the number of words you say or how good you speak. It's, are you stepping out in faith? Are you listening to the Holy Spirit for the words to say? But man, I have a real trouble hearing what the Spirit has to say. It's really hard for me. That's true. It might be. But it doesn't mean you shouldn't step out and pray or ask for prayer. Here's another lie. I'm just going to back away and let those more spiritual, strong people pray. No. Go boldly before God. Don't believe that lie. Oh, they're so much more spiritual. I'll let them pray. I'm not good at this. Go to that person and ask God to heal them. See, you don't know how God is going to move in that instant that you open up your mouth and ask him to heal the person. God may ignite the gift of healing through his Holy Spirit, through you, in that moment that you open your mouth and ask him to heal that person, even if it isn't your normal spiritual gifts. So this morning, we are going to practice the spiritual gift of healing in a few minutes. In a few minutes, I'm going to invite you to stand where you are. You don't need to come front. And if you can't stand, raise your hand. Put your hand up. And if you are having problems putting your hand up and standing, have the person next to you put their hand up for you. I want the people around those people who are standing or having their hands up to pray for them. If you are dealing with anxiety, depression, an injury, emotional hurts, maybe you're living in fear and need to be set free, anything, small or large, doesn't matter. God cares about all of it. And if there's no one close to you to pray for, just flag me down and I'll walk over and you can pray for my shoulder, because it has been bothering me pretty much the last week or so. And what am I preaching on? On healing, right? You can also pray for Earl and Alice. A phone tree message came through to pray for her. That is a step of faith, asking you to pray for healing for her. And Esther May, she sent out a message the other day saying that she needs healing. That's a step of faith that you guys will be praying for her. So you can pray for those, as well as Earl and Raymond as well, as they walk alongside of them in this situation. I have some instructions for you. If you want to lay on a hand on someone while you're praying, ask them first, because some people are uncomfortable with that. So just ask. God can heal them without laying a hand on them. Remove the doubt. Man, if one of those really strong, super spiritual people isn't near me, I'm not going to be healed. Get rid of that doubt. That's a lie from Satan. You have the same Holy Spirit they do, as well as the other people in our church. Pray out loud. I know this might be stretching for you. Speak it out loud. Take turns praying. And when someone is praying, listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling you. I know this is going to be a short time, but it's not about time, because God can move in an instant. Include the children of our church in this. Have them join in so they can experience what God is doing and see Him move. So I'm going to have a prayer, and then we will go. We will do. We will practice. We will stretch and we will learn and we will grow. It might not be easy, but God is calling us to this. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we are going to ask you to heal this morning. Heal hurts, heal wounds, heal scars in just a minute. I pray that you will answer these prayers offered in faith. No matter how small our faith is, Lord, bring healing to those who ask for it. Prompt those hurting this morning to stand and open their hearts and minds and souls to your Spirit. I pray that Satan would be bound and that you, God, are the only one who is allowed in this place. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I would invite you to take that step of faith and stand or raise your hand if you need healing prayer this morning. It can be for anything. And this also applies to those watching on the live stream. God knows what you need. If you're with some other people, stand up and say, I need prayer. If you're by yourself, just stand up. God knows what you need. So there's going to be some background music playing, and we're going to take 5 to 10 minutes to pray. So if you need healing prayer this morning, stand up now. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning in faith and ask you to heal. We know you have heard our prayers. And we ask for healing for all those who stood this morning. We believe that it is finished, it is done, it is in your hands, and you have taken care of it, and that we are healed. We are going to walk out of here this morning knowing that you set things in motion, and there is going to be healing. If it wasn't instantly done, Father. Show us your power. Show us your love and your mercy. Father, I pray for Earl and Alice. I just pray that you give them wisdom. Bring healing to Alice's body, Father. Pray for Raymond and Esther May. Just bring healing to Esther May's body as well as Raymond's hand. I just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And here is something that we definitely need to do more of as a church, and we are trying to do more and focus more on that. When someone asks for prayer and God answers it, we need to share it as a church. We need to share how God has worked. And when we do this, it raises our faith. It builds it. It strengthens it to new levels. And with our faith growing, we're more apt to go out boldly the next time. See, God is moving and He is working. And we need to share how and what He is doing. Because this builds up the church. Not just one or two people who might have prayed for you. It builds up the whole entire church. So in closing, keep practicing the spiritual gift of healing. Go and pray boldly for people. Go out and believe that God will heal them. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we can gather and look at your word. I just pray that you will increase our faith. Help us to be thankful for all that you do for us. We thank you for hearing our prayers and walking alongside of us. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite the worship team forward for a closing song.
While they're getting ready, would you please stand and join us as we sing this closing song, Sing to the King.
have a youth group announcement. In some ways, it seems like a very long time ago. In other ways, it's not so long that sometime in early December, Renee and me would come and we'd drop our boys off here to church for an evening of babysitting. And I think the idea was that as young parents, it frees you up an evening without your children in the Christmas season so you can go Christmas shopping for them. I don't know that we ever actually went Christmas shopping when we did that, but we went out to eat several times and we had some date nights with some other people here at church, so it was always an appreciated thing. So we're going to be doing that again, and it's going to happen December 11th, and it's going to be from 6 to 8:30 here to church. And that is not this weekend, not the next weekend, but the following weekend. And if you're like me, that'd be the last Saturday in Bucks season. That's how you can remember it. So we don't have a sign-up sheet yet, but we're going to do a little something different this year when we're babysitting. So we'd like to know who's coming and how old they are and that kind of thing. So by next weekend, we're going to have sign-up sheets around the church, probably one in the front here in the foyer or in the coat area, downstairs in the coat area, and I think we'll probably have one in the nursery or at the door of the nursery or something like that. So sign up and put the information on the sign-up sheet that it asks for, or talk to somebody in the youth group and let them know who you are and who we will be babysitting. So thanks.
Thank you, Brian. I think Teresa and I might have gone shopping one time. Out of all the times we dropped our kids off, we went and did other things as well. But it was definitely good as parents to just have some time alone. So will you stand for the parting benediction this morning? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. God bless you. Go in peace. You're dismissed.